This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Your brothers and sisters in IslamNet from Norway are establishing a masjid, a dawah center. This center, this masjid, this educational institution will act like a beacon of light, calling the Muslims in Norway back to the essence of Islam. So give generously and Allah Azza wa Jal will give you even more.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? Many of you will be aware of the recent attack on one Salman Rushdie, an individual who is an open advocate against or detractor of Islam and the Islamic Prophet. Ever since that time where he wrote his book, he and the fatwa was by the corrupt state of Iran was declared upon him. There has been, or at least he has become, an emblematic figure for the cause of freedom of expression and speech. And especially in neoconservative or right-wing quadrants of particular political discussion, we find that freedom of speech is juxtaposed with Islamic blasphemy laws, for example, or things of that nature, or Islam and Muslims in general, or indeed Muslim reactions to desecrations of the sacred symbols of Islam. So there's this juxtaposition which we find in the orientalizing type of literature that we see in books and academia and, of course, on the media as well. Question is, of course, is such a thing even appropriate considering the circumstances? Now, that's what I want to say is, from as much as I know, in America, for example, in the UK, in the US, and much of the West, in fact, most of the West, we don't see particular pieces of legislation which are aimed against things like blasphemy law. But we don't find the same free speech absolutists, individuals who are talking about free speech and advocating its merits, talk about other things which are in fact enshrined into legislation. For example, of course, Holocaust denial being one of them. Of course, we don't necessarily advocate such a position, just for the record. Just for the record. Or want to antagonize our good friends in the Jewish community. But if one is truly a free speech absolutist, shouldn't one be lobbying against, with all vociferousness and vigor, shouldn't one be lobbying against such a law in any meaningful way? Shouldn't we be seeing our Twitter feeds flooded with messages against those governments in Europe and elsewhere that have made Holocaust denial something which is illegal and a criminal offense? Shouldn't we be seeing protests across the streets of Berlin and London on such a matter? The reason why we're not seeing it is because individuals who are proponents for free speech absolutism usually, or sometimes at least, employ the most terrible of double standard. Now, I'm not asking such individuals to vicariously sympathize with the Muslim cause or Islam in general, but what I am saying is be consistent to your own cause. When Gutless Murray himself recently came and spoke to my good colleague Abdullah Andalusi and friend and mentor and tried to corner him because he is a gutless coward who cannot and has not responded to any of our debate offers in the past, when he himself had the audacity to question Abdullah Andalusi, a figure whose books are everywhere in most bookshops in the West. And at the same time, he tries to restrict the freedom of speech through the Henry Drax Society of Muslim Speakers. That, if not a double standard, what could it be? What could it be? What is it then, if it's not a double standard? Hypocrisy from you people. It's not about freedom of speech, you liars. You are a liar, and you are all liars. It's not about freedom of speech. It is about the selective use of freedom of speech in order to inhibit and derail and diminish the rights of Muslim people who happen to be minorities in Western lands. That's really what's going on, isn't it? Because you don't want to admit that. Because you have an ulterior agenda. In fact, you need us more than anything else, because we are the very community which you need to tell your children, who will grow up being, in some cases, white supremacists, in other cases, at least fierce nationalists against any ethnic minority outside of themselves, to say this is what you're not. You need us. You need us to be the scapegoat that you can blame for every mistake that happens in your life, every failure that you have, which is why it is no coincidence that most right-wing, far-right individuals like Tom Robinson and his ilk are the most uneducated, low IQ individuals in all of society. So what I will say is, to conclude, as follows. My friend Ali Dawa has made a very good point in his videos, a very, very good point, which is that he said, why do you specialize Islam in this discussion when, if the sacred symbols of other peoples from other faiths, as we've seen with the Hindutva in India, he makes the example of Ataturk in Turkey, some Kurdish leader he mentions. We can go on and on. If you try and desecrate the sacred symbols of individuals, the gangster communities among them will deal with you, my friends. We're not condoning such a thing at all. But that is a reality. We, the Muslims, at 1.8 billion, which represent, according to Pew, will represent a third of the population of the world. One in three. At least one in four now. You don't think we have gangsters? We have Muslim gangsters as well. And when you go ahead and attack the sacred symbols of Islam, although our approach is not to do so, we can't stop the gangsters from dealing with you or anyone else. We can't stop the Muslim gangsters from dealing with you or anyone else. Just like if you go to Colombia and you speak about a particular cartel in a specific manner, go to their area and be a man and speak about them. You want free speech absolutism? Don't just deny the Holocaust. Knock it if you're a real man and see what happens to your career. How about black communities? I want to see how strong you are. Free speech, Douglas, Gutless, Murray, and others like you. Why don't you speak about the black community in a racially insensitive way? And then go to Harlem or Detroit and see what happens to you. See if there's any gangsters there that will slice and dice you and chew you. Don't you dare speak about Islam or the Muslims where you cannot and you will not debate people like me or Abdullah Andalusi or Ali Dawa in a one-on-one, Zeeshan, or any of us in a one-on-one environment. With that, I will conclude. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that when the son of Adam dies, all of his good deeds are interrupted. They are finished. Except for three things. Sadaqatun jariyah, a continuous charity, and a beneficial knowledge, and also a righteous offspring that makes dua for him. Your brothers and sisters in Islam Net from Norway are establishing a masjid, a dawah center, and fulfilling a great portion of this hadith on your behalf. Establishing a masjid to convey the message of Islam is one of the best deeds a Muslim can do. Whenever someone prays there, whenever someone gives shahada in the masjid, whenever someone learns something in the masjid, yes, that will be something that you'll have on your scale. So give generously and Allah Azza wa Jal will give you even more.